Today's audiocast for Monday, October 15th, 2006 is made possible by Aviation Consumer, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners. Mike Blakeney reporting for AvWeb's Audio News Service. After about 36 hours of defending general aviation in the wake of the Corralito crash on Wednesday, AOPA President Phil Boyer found something good to say about the FAA's imposition of flight restrictions in the narrow East River VFR corridor, from which Lytle and his instructor, Tyler Stangler, strayed when Lytle Cirrus SR-20 hit an apartment building. Considering all of the possible overreactions to the Lytle accident being demanded by some, the FAA's safety response is reasonable, AOPA President Phil Boyer said in a statement. This provides some breathing room while the NTSB gathers the facts and arrives at an accident cause determination, Boyer said. The TFR doesn't ban light aircraft from the Hudson River corridor or the East River. It requires those flying fixed-wing land aircraft to contact LaGuardia Tower for authorization to enter the corridor and to remain under active control while in that area. New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg has distinguished himself amid a chorus of panic button pushing politicians by, in diplomatic terms, urging them to get a grip. Bloomberg, a pilot who's been in a couple of emergencies himself, was among the first on the scene of the crash, as he lives in the neighborhood, and identified parts of the aircraft to rule out involvement of a helicopter. When the smoke had cleared, he told reporters he considered pre-TFR New York airspace safe. Bloomberg said the city has very few accidents for an awful lot of traffic and that, this is a quote, every time you have an automobile accident, you're not going to go and close the streets or prohibit people from driving, close quote. Bloomberg was effectively drowned out and pushed to the end of most news stories by the I told you so invective of state and federal politicians ranking from State Senator Chuck Schumer to New York's Governor Pataki to former mayor and potential White House hopeful Rudy Giuliani. The tragedy played perfectly into Chicago Mayor Richard Daley's long-standing belief that GA traffic should be banned over his city's downtown area, and he wasted little time exploiting it. Remember, a single or a two-engine plane can kill as many people as possible if they want to, Daley told reporters in a news conference filled with similar comments directed at small aircraft and the supposed dangers they pose. It was almost more than AOPA President Phil Boyer could take. In a rare signed editorial on the AOPA site, he accused Daley and other naysaying politicians of pandering to uninformed public fears, posturing from the soapbox of demagoguery, screaming security for your own political ends. His words, not ours. ABC News may be adding planks to that soapbox through an online poll that asks for viewers' opinions on the VFR corridor. Lytle and Stangler were evidently trying to follow the rules of the corridor when they crashed. Who was flying still hasn't been determined, but the corridor ends at the point where the aircraft went into a left turn and pilots are required to make a relatively tight U-turn to avoid going into airspace controlled by the LaGuardia Airport Tower or breaching the sides of the corridor over Manhattan or Queens. Media reports on Friday suggest pilot inexperience may have been a factor. The plane was relatively new to Lytle and his 88-hour total time and Stangler. Cirrus told the Washington Post that Stangler had not taken the company's five-day instructor course that the company requires for those who teach students how to fly its airplanes. On a much brighter note, a news item in AvWeb Flash has resulted in a major boost to a fundraising campaign that may put what was once the world's only flying B-29 back in the air. Texas inventor and industrialist Joe Jameson has pledged $2 million toward a $3 million project to install more reliable engines in Fifi, owned and operated by the Commemorative Air Force. The plane has suffered engine problems since she rolled off the Boeing assembly line. The aircraft has Wright engines, and last June, after discovering metal shavings in the oil, the CAF decided for safety reasons to ground the big bomber until more reliable engines could be installed. Jameson, a former military and transport pilot, developed safety-related equipment for the transportation industry, so the donation is a good fit for him. Cessna's proof-of-concept entry into the light sport aircraft category flew for the first time last Friday. The 33-minute flight originated at McConnell Air Force Base and ended at Mid-Continent Airport in Wichita. The plane was put through various flight maneuvers and got up to a speed of more than 110 knots, according to a company news release. The aircraft, which is mostly aluminum, was unveiled at EAA AirVenture last July. It was announced in January. And although comparisons to the discontinued 152 are inevitable, Cessna appears to be making an effort to draw distinctions. The NTSB says pilots and air traffic controllers need to cooperate better to keep airplanes from flying into extreme weather. In a safety alert issued last week, the NTSB says avoiding thunderstorms is mainly the pilot's responsibility, but air traffic controller training and briefings have not been sufficient to ensure that pilots receive the weather advisories needed to support good in-flight weather avoidance decisions. The alert cited four fatal accidents in which the aircraft involved were flying IFR and under ATC control when they hit the weather. Among the accidents cited was the one that killed former test pilot Scott Crossfield in Georgia last April. The Blue Water Network, a division of Friends of the Earth, has filed a petition with the EPA calling for the reduction or elimination of lead from aviation's gasoline. The group says leaded fuel threatens the health of airport workers, pilots, passengers, and communities next to airports. It also claims that 70% of aircraft can use unleaded automotive fuel, and the remaining 30% can use ethanol-based fuels. It didn't say where this information came from, but the authors of the petition, David Zismore and Demir Kuliev, seem pretty convinced of their data. Things are moving fast in the very light jet and air taxi business, but a company called EarthJet seems to have appeared on the scene in a split second. In a news release issued last Friday, the company says it's guiding the development of a purpose-designed air taxi aircraft with a stand-up cabin and fully loaded range of 1,000 miles. It says the plane will be certified and built by an unnamed established aerospace company and provide an unheard-of level of service and convenience for customers at airline prices. Although the aircraft hasn't been built, the company is set to take reservations on the point-to-point service. It also is offering franchises for sale. The office was closed Sunday when Avweb tried to reach someone for comment. Comair is claiming that the FAA was at least partly responsible for the crash of one of its regional jets in Lexington, Kentucky that killed 49 people, according to the AP. In a suit filed on Friday, the airline claims that signs and lighting that would have led the pilots of the aircraft to the correct runway were missing because of a construction project. It claims that other aircraft had made the same mistake recently and had been redirected by air traffic controllers, and it also notes in its suit that the Lexington Tower was manned by a single controller when it should have been staffed by a minimum of two. The controller on duty had his back turned to the runway doing paperwork when Flight 5191 lined up on a 3,500-foot general aviation runway instead of the 7,000-foot runway it should have been on. Find all these stories and more online today at avweb.com. Comments on this audiocast are welcome. You can email us at audionews@avweb.com. This report has been made possible by Aviation Consumer, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners. For more information, click on the audiocast sponsors link. Look for Avweb's next audiocast this Friday, October 20th. I'm Mike Blakeney. Thanks for listening.